It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
That did not sound like Adam for some reason. You all know Marshall by now, even if you've only been listening to the half hour or so preceding this show, you know Marshall. Marshall Gallup is the local reverse mortgage specialist. He's, despite his vast youth, he has an excellent background. We just compared, and he's a few months younger than I am, so he's the kid today. But he has a background in a lot of financial things, but in particularly mortgages. And he did call us last week, and I heard something that was kind of unexpected from him, and we'll get into that after we get market wrap and that sort of thing taken off the agenda for today. And it's going to be interesting. I don't know how many of you are holdovers from the real estate show ahead of us, but the discussion was about insurance in Florida, particularly homeowners. And this was the week that was for that kind of thing here. We found ourselves in a mess, and we're trying to get out of it. And as usual with any sort of elected body, the I guess it reaches critical mass after it's a little late. And I'll relate that, I guess, to the Federal Reserve today, because I can't not do that. And we've got a lot to talk about today. But any of you, any questions about anything financial, please call. But if you have questions about mortgages and reverse mortgages, it's not every day we have the local experts sitting here for a quick answer to what's going on. Now, I want to welcome everybody back, all the regulars. Thanks for always being there. And if you're new to the show because you heard about it or left your radio on or whatever, stick around for an hour. I can't promise you what'll be said, but I can promise you that somewhere along the line you'll learn something, because that's just the way it goes here. So, not going to dwell too long on the market wrap either. Usually Adam's job, and it just wasn't very much fun, but I'm going to say a few words about it because it's really bugging me. I've been in this business for over 21 years now, and I can't think of a week where I endured more frustration after all that time. It's very rare when something goes so far differently than what we expect that it frustrates me. Generally, it's not important enough to lose that much sleep over. But we all knew a week ago, because Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, always tips his hat a little bit, and that's putting it really mildly. He tells us what he's going to do and when he's going to do it, and he doesn't go back on it. So everybody ought to go into the Fed meeting week, which was this week, very certain of what's going to happen. And as far as I knew, everybody did. So they're thinking he's going to slow down the pace of the rate hikes. Great. Wonderful. The market was happy. Opened up Monday, had a couple hundred point gain. Tuesday, we came back for another gain. And then Wednesday, meeting day was over, and this was announcement day. And the futures jumped up about 900 points. Everybody was so sure that he was going to do the lessening of the increases that it made them happy. So the market opened up, and sure enough, it jumped up. Dow jumped up about 700 points. And then the afternoon announcement came where he announced that he was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And the market puked up about 1,000, 1,200 points or whatever it was, just steadily sold off completely. Well, there's an old saying around our shop that says, on Fed announcement day, one of two things is going to happen. That day will be up and the next day down, or that day will be down and the next day up. We don't know which one. That seems to be totally random. And I've always said that, in my humble opinion, that is due to Fed speak. Because when they say things and you immediately hear them, it might mean something totally different than they really meant, which you can sleep on overnight, and then you reverse your opinion for what you now know that they supposedly think. That sounded complicated. It was. Anyway, not so. Thursday comes, I'm expecting the market up. Boom, all red all day long. Friday, triple witching day. to make matters worse sometimes, read all day. Now, what was that all about? Since when does the market punish the investors because the Fed chairman does what the Fed chairman said he was going to do? Yeah, his speech was maybe a little bit more aggressive than they wanted it, but so what? What's going on out there is so egregious, and you know this and I know this, but they don't know this yet, but they're going to find out. Things are bad out there, and they're getting worse, and worse than how bad they are and worse than how bad they're going to get is the fact that everybody now understands that, except those in power. And if they don't understand it, it's already too late. In my humble opinion, it's already too late. We are going into a recession. In my opinion, we've already had one. I think we're going to have another one. I think we're already in it. Now, the interesting thing from the standpoint that Adam and I have to put up with day after day, and I don't want to make it sound horrible, but it makes it very difficult. The market will anticipate when that recession will end and growth will start again. And that'll be 6 to 9 months ahead of when it actually happens. So we'll be watching the gloom and the doom and the layoffs and the rate increases and all the horrible things that are going on. And while we least expect it, you'll see the market bottom out and turn up and just kind of inch its way up. And then it'll do it again and again and again. And before you know it, the market will be in full-blown recovery mode, even though the economy stinks. But they know what's going to happen, and collectively they've been excellent at doing this for many, many years. So our question is, how do you handle it? And it gets very difficult. We're at this point, and I say we, Adam's not here. And by the way, I'll tell you where he is. Adam and his friends went on their annual duck hunting trip in Arkansas. I wouldn't say it to you if I wouldn't say it to him. And we already took care of that before he left. So anyway, he and the boys are down there with their camouflage shotguns and all that, getting up early and making the air unsafe for ducks until they max out, and then the pizza and beer start.
I hope they have some very thick Long Johns.
You and me. Yeah, it's closest to Memphis. That's where the airport is that they use to get there. So it's pretty far north in Arkansas. Yeah, and you know what that means if you've ever been in that kind of country. But right now it seems particularly worse because of what's going on across the country weather-wise. So I hope they're having fun. But yeah, one way or the other, we're gonna make sure that he is missed, but not so badly that we can't have a good time. So Marshall and I have a lot to talk about, and of course we will have a trivia question right after the break. And I'm going to say very little more about the market unless someone decides they want to talk about it. But I don't think next week will necessarily be a reflection of this week, and that whole thing would make me extremely happy if it happened that way. Who knows? It's just been so strange out there that it's really about as unpredictable as it could be. And that usually means that the best thing to do is bite your tongue, grin and bear it, wait a little while. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And Marshall's sitting in for Adam today in the studio, and we thank him very much. We're going to get into some things. He's already kind of knocked my socks off on our discussion over the break, things I didn't know, and I'm sure most of you don't know. But first, as usual, we have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Well, among other things going on right now, probably a bright spot for a lot of people, there's some kind of a soccer tournament or something. Have you heard anything about that? Apparently one of the finalists, and I guess that game is tomorrow, is Argentina. So Argentina, I don't know how many people know this, not been a very good place to live for the last few years. Marshall's chuckling. Perhaps an understatement, right? And we have a little inflation problem in this country, but they have a little inflation problem as well. And I just read some headlines this morning that said their inflation rate dropped between October and November from 6.35% to 4.9%. Well, that is what you would call a misleading headline. What is the actual 12-month year-over-year inflation rate in Argentina right now? It is a number, let's say, larger than either of those. You got to get it within a couple to be close. So what is the true inflation rate in Argentina right now, where people have taken a few moments off of being miserable to enjoy a soccer game, and then Monday morning they'll go back to being miserable? So yes. Look at Brazil. All those places are going crazy.
Kind of like we Gator fans when we occasionally take a break from the world to go enjoy a basketball or football game.
Yeah, like our Jaguar fans, we took a break last Sunday to win one and look good doing it. And who knows from here on in. But I was very proud of them last week. They started out poorly and really came racing back. All right, one more comment on the economy before we move along to the mortgage industry. Here's a few of the layoffs that I've read about that have happened this year. And bear with me. Twitter, half of the workforce, 3,700 people. Meta, 11,000. Private startups have dumped 105,000. Amazon, 10,000. Peloton, 4,600. Seagate, 3,000. Carvana, 2,500. GoPuff, they're four separate layoffs. 100, 450, 1,500, and 250. Snap, 11,000 people. Coinbase, 1,100 people. Stripe, 1,000 people. Microsoft, estimate of 1,000. The real estate industry, Better.com, 3,000, followed by another 250. Loan Depot, 2,800. So far, 2,000 more expected. Mr. Cooper, 250, then 420, then 800, all this year. Redfin, 470, followed by 862. Open Door, 550, after 830 earlier. J.P. Morgan Chase, 1,000 at least, but half of those have been reassigned to other departments. HomePoint, 913. Compass, 450, followed by 271. Guaranteed Rate, 348, following 189. Doma, 310 people, followed by 250. Others, Juul, the vaping people, 400. Wells Fargo, 10,226. Credit Suisse, 9,000 people with 2,700 already done. Goldman Sachs, several hundred, more details later. Barclays, 200. Citigroup, 50 trading jobs and dozens of bank jobs. How's your economy? Not that good. Now, if I could get that piece of paper that I just read from in front of Jerome Powell's nose and tell him that each one of those numbers on that page is someone who lost a job prior to Christmas this year, and there's more following if he doesn't wake up and do something about it. But I've spent enough time on him. Let's talk about, I have a feeling you're going to somehow relate this to the Fed again. What's going on? I'm going to lead him in, and then I'll let you explain it all. We got a phone call sitting here last week. It was from Marshall, who's a frequent caller and good friend of the show. And I had gotten a letter from him a few days before that saying he had switched companies, and he is an agent for the reverse mortgage world. He went over to the Mutual of Omaha, the Wild Kingdom people, and the Gator and all that stuff, and a very long, well-respected company, and a lot of us learned about it as we were really young watching the TV show. So it's something I feel very positive about. But that wasn't the whole story. So Marshall told us last week that his company had gone under, and I was surprised. I never heard anything about it. So carry on with the details, and we'll get into the weeds as time allows here.
Without getting into too much detail, economically speaking, we've all, well, most of us who are mature, remember Paul Volcker. Remember the Carter administration. Remember 15% mortgage rates and higher.
And inflation rates topping off in the almost 20 range, like that.
When Mr. Volcker made his famous move as the chairman of the Fed, which now, as history has come back, said it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant what he did. He drove up rates to back off inflation because inflation was a killer. That went from 10 to 15% on the 10-year treasury in 1 year. That's a 50% increase in rates over 1 year. Now, if you're looking at a chart of the 10-year, that is this dynamic mountain that's on the chart. But it's been steadily going downhill since then. Mm-hmm. However, in the last year and a half, we have gone up 190%.
Granted, the numbers are smaller, but that's not the point here. The point is the rate of change.
We went from 0.5 to 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
What that did was that made a very big difference in how much money we could loan to a senior on a reverse product, because that is interest rate driven. What it did is change the dynamics of running an entire industry. I won't even get into the nuances of working with FHA and how many years behind they get to be. But what it did is it took two companies that had run very ethically, very cleanly. Within the company I was there, we were like a family. I got there, employee 50. I realized we were almost 500 employees. Until November 30th. Of that, there was about 150 salespeople. We all had opportunities immediately because the other surviving company really realized this is our opportunity to get a lot of really good salespeople, very focused on getting things done. So take an industry and say, all right, we're going to take the number two company out, and we're going to take out half of the number one company and sell that half to the number four company. And the number two company is going to pick up the best of everything. That is a tremendous shift in how a business operates. But the sad part of the whole deal was all those people who made the engine work after the salesperson had met with someone, for the most part, lost their jobs. And
November 30th, they had
absolutely nothing to do. Really, the sales team had nothing to do with the problems that were generated. The problems were purely economic due to this unbelievable spike in interest rates over a short period of time.
And thereby lies the rub back to the Fed.
It's like the Fed's making no sense. Okay. We've said that before.
I've lived it.
You know, making no sense in what they're doing. Now, we had built an economy, however, that's been so strong that it's still rattling along. Now, certainly, Steve knows much better than I do when you're just actually talking about the equity markets. But when you go out in the city of Jacksonville and you want to go to a restaurant, a lot of times you're running into a line.
Mm-hmm.
The line isn't because they were out of seats. They're out of people to cook, to do those different things.
Yeah.
So where is this imbalance happening for a lot of people? And the driving force behind creating the problems is the fiscal policy. And then someone trying to make things look better, playing with our interest rates.
Yeah. And confusing power with the smoke screen that they're putting up.
I'm sitting there talking with a gentleman yesterday, and I know we got to go to a break. But realizing how hard that man had worked to build communities. And now because of economics, where he is today, is an extremely sad commentary on our community.
And that's just a single example of what's going on out there today. And unfortunately, and you know me, I wish there never had been a Fed. I wish I'd get rid of the one we have and so on. But you go to war with the army you've got, and that means we have a Fed. But they think all the old rules are going to apply. Here's what Volcker did, and it worked. Well, they didn't have the same problem. They were not in the process of paying so many people to stay home and not work. And this is the underlying cause of a lot of this. The single number that you want to look at, I will bring up right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And before we go to the phones, I want to redo the trivia question, because you never know. Somebody may want to take a shot at it. Argentina's having a bit of a tough time down there for many, many reasons, and they are suffering inflation that makes ours look paltry. I want to know the actual year-over-year inflation rate for November of this year in Argentina. Good morning, Phil.
Okay, good morning, Team Gurus. Thank you for all that you and your family and staff do, and your guests today. I'm going to say 37%, and I'm probably wrong, but I have something else to say.
Well, then I'll start by saying you're too low.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I'll start. I'll finish.
I didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah, yeah. I'll finish by saying, carry on.
Thank you. In January, you both called it, you and your team. I just went to two good-sized pension board agency trust meetings recently. Mm-hmm. And one was down about, well, they said lost, but they didn't really lose it. $1.5 million, the other one $2.3 million, but they're very substantial. But and like you said, you know, even going into the new year, another 6 months before anything maybe rebounds, but when you call that recession and everything else back in January, y'all five-star, and we appreciate it. I'm going to let you go, and I'm glad we don't live in Argentina unless we're filthy rich, and then you got to worry about a coup or something. You know what I mean?
You're exactly right about that. Thank you very much.
Are we going to be on the air next Saturday, or are we going to have a recording?
I have promises from Tom in the next room here that he'll be here if I'm here, and you've got my promise that I'll be here. Both times.
Well, I'll be, if the good Lord allows, health-wise, I'll be here too. Even if I'm in a hospital bed, I'll call in. I'm glad you got some time off to spend with family. But don't forget, beginning of the year, you need to take some time off too. Even though you're the kingpin and he's the kingpin 1.1.
Yeah, we're only 6 weeks away from our finishing year number 8. On this program.
Yeah, wow.
I believe it is.
Where does the time go? And I'll tell you what, so many people I know don't call in but listen and everything. And I tell them, you know, about your show and the Realty Show before and then the other WBOB. I have not met Miss Efferson, but as I told Ed and Roger during the week, a week ago or so, when I heard her on the radio, of her high status to come over and to talk and whatnot, I'm going to send her a $500 check for her favorite donation.
Wonderful.
But, wow. I mean, it's just awesome. Keep up the good work. And, Tom, you're on the mark. You're on the team.
Thanks,
hey,
Phil.
I'm only approaching 80, so with three trust funds and very lucrative, what do I know, you know? thanks much. Bye-bye.
Well, have a Merry Christmas, too. Thanks for the call. Good morning, Leroy.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you and Marshall doing?
We're doing great. You?
Great, thank you.
I'm doing much better than I was 2 days ago, and you probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I can probably guess.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to give it a try at the trivia, but I'm going to have to up it a couple percentage points to 92.4.
Your fingers did the walking through those yellow pages, huh?
Pretty close.
Now, that, by the way, in case anybody misunderstood what I was trying to say, that is exactly right. 92.4 year over year, expected in December to go to 100%, may or may not actually reach that number.
Wow.
Why do you think that so much of the media, if you just Google this thing, inflation rate, and you look at the page that comes up, why are so many people touting the number 4.9%, down from 6.35%, when they know damn well that's what happened in an individual month.
I thought it was a day.
Well, okay, that was back in Africa, okay. Zimbabwe. But why wouldn't they just say it's 92% if it's 92%? But no, they got to make it look like it's a valid comparison to us when it has nothing to do with that. And I just found, as I was reading down through all the search results that came through, I kept seeing this 4.9 and 6.35 number over and over. And finally, I found one page that said what it actually was.
You know, you read the list of companies with layoffs.
Yeah.
The major announcement that was made this week from the White House, 10,000 jobs were added in Arizona.
Oh. Well, they weren't on the border, I don't think. Anyway, Leroy, thank you. We appreciate the call. I've got your address.
Okay, thank you very much. You both have a good day.
You too, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too. Bye.
Thanks.
That fact was courtesy of Senator Rand Paul.
Well, one of the few people, when he talks, I generally listen and I generally believe it. He's a pretty practical guy. Yeah, we need a lot more of those. Anyway, back to what's going on in the business. The Fed now, in my opinion, is under the mistaken belief that they have the same kind of control that Volcker did. But there's a systemic nuance, nuisance, or problem, whatever, in today's economy brought to you by the current administration, I guess, where they have paid, this goes back to, of course, COVID and what came after. They've paid so much money to so many people that the participation rate, the labor force participation rate, continues to drop. And there are millions of people now perfectly capable of working who are not working because they got all the money they need in the bank. Now, I don't understand that attitude. The term that someone coined for it was they have excess savings. There is no such thing as excess savings. You can't have enough savings, in my opinion.
Well,
don't have control now.
Having worked with a lot of our more modest income families in the affordable housing world at a long portion of my life, that's a group that gets hit the hardest in this kind of scenario. And they're really looking just day to day. They're not thinking, okay, I'm putting away this money that's going to be there 40 years from now when I get ready to retire. Because they need everything they make just to make ends meet. And then they start digging a hole a little bit deeper with revolving debt.
Which
other
adds
finance
a payment
companies
to a non-increasing income,
and that really is a sad indication of those people who are so focused on their personal largesse, and I'm talking about our political leaders, that they say they're of the people, but it's of their people, and those are the people who are not as impacted by these economic activities that are going on right now. I mean, you can say, oh, the price of gas has gone down, but it's still three dadgum dollars a gallon.
Well, I'd much rather pay $3 than $2.31, wouldn't you? This is what we're supposed to accept as the gospel according to St. Joe. It's just absolutely crazy to think that $3 a gallon is a really good price for gasoline, then that he deserves all the credit in the world for doing all that work. That's almost as dumb as saying that having 5 million people cross into this country illegally is good stuff.
And this economy is actually still supporting that.
Yeah.
That's the amazing American way as it has happened.
Yep.
What if we actually had somebody who was driving the bus, who understood how to fix the engine in the bus?
We did. But we don't anymore. And that's got to change. I am very, very concerned about the people who are financing their day-to-day lifestyle on credit cards. We've seen this happen before. Now, what's happening to credit card debt? The price of that is going way higher. Also, one of the first responses and one of the most pronounced responses to any kind of a rate hike is what credit card companies do. They're out there jacking up rates. There are people today that are adding the debt so fast to that credit card that they're going to max out on it and maybe another one, and they're going to lead to personal bankruptcies, and it is all preventable. I could start, you know, patting myself on the back or not. You can think what you want. I could start to fix this right now. I would just undo all the things that Biden undid that have to do with oil production and transportation across the country, and right away we would start to see results in terms of cheaper oil, less inflation, and more employment. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And we have on the phone, good morning, Greg.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to all.
Ditto, right back at you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I tagged your cell phone earlier.
Not a problem.
Bad habit. I have your personal number, and I think I'm calling the studio. And it was funny because I heard it ring one time. I'm like, oh, my.
I was quick. I forgot. Well, what you heard was my watch, and I always remember to silence it before going on air, except today.
All right. All right.
Marshall and I were talking, and I just kind of went over my head. It was funny.
So I just, you know, I liked the conversation today, and I just wanted to kind of throw out some thoughts here. One of them is, and unfortunately, you know, this is the holiday season. You're supposed to be in a good mood and all of that good stuff. But I think that our country, that I see clouds on the horizon, and I don't feel good about the direction that we're headed. You guys have talked about a few of the things, but I think that there are so many other issues that are also adding to the problems and the issues that are going on. And I think we're maybe a few steps away from, you know, having incoming come in from all sides. And what I mean by that, I'm talking, you know, from global actors that could really tip this economy south. I am all reminded of something that I read not too long ago, and that is that the leftists and the progressives, you know, the issues is not the issue. The issue for them is to control the public by controlling the economy and controlling the culture, and for all of us to be controlled by those people, by the elite.
Karl Marx.
Yes, and until the average citizen who continues to vote Democrat and or progressive and not start voting based on what's best for our country and our nation, and in preserving the traditional values that this country was born on, I don't feel good about it.
Well,
I do feel
hard.
Good about a couple of things that I see, and so I don't want to be all gloom and doom. There's a couple of, you know, there's a few people out there, political people like Ron DeSantis and Tom Cotton and a few people out there like that.
Jim Jordan,
that are, you know, candles of hope. And even, you know, Elon Musk.
Yep.
I honestly, that guy needs to be awarded the freedom of, the highest medal a civilian can get. He's literally one man that is taking apart the progressive narrative by exposing them for who they are. And look what he's getting in return, the incoming that he's getting. But, man, we have to wake up. I mean, you're on your radio today doing the best you can, but, you're talking to the choir.
Yeah,
we
that's
need
a problem.
To get out beyond all of this.
Yep.
And I don't know. So I love you guys. I try to listen to you whenever I can. And when I don't hear you, I miss you, actually. But, have a great Christmas and a happy new year and a profitable one as well. And we'll talk to you in 2023.
Thank you. Everybody I know would appreciate everything you just said and agree with you. We got to figure out ways to do this. But one quick reminder for you, our shows are always on the website with commercials taken out by Tuesday or so of the week. So no excuses for missing the show.
Yeah. Thank you for my being whacked on the air. It's the first time it's ever happened in my life.
It's thank Christmas.
You. Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
All right, we'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Longtime listener, funny guy, good guy, smart guy. You know, it's been shown. Rush Limbaugh went back to 1988, I think, and he said the smartest audiences in the world are talk radio audiences, and it's
absolutely
been proven forever and ever and ever.
We used to get up in the morning and listen to Bill Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most intelligent callers. There was a Dr. Marty who was just, well,
yeah.
I still almost relish the time that I'm going down my Twitter thread, which is mainly geared towards Gator sports. But Thomas Sowell always pops up.
Yeah.
And people don't realize what a treasure certain people like that have been in education.
I'm a longtime fan of the doctor. Absolutely.
Well, we were going to mention something about interest rates.
Yeah.
The person who does the secondary marketing, which is the capital markets interaction, made a comment this week in his newsletter. Recessionary times call for a moderating of the 10-year index. And he showed historically where it had fallen below where it is now. That is something that has been thought of all this year by the people who buy mortgage loans.
Mm-hmm.
So that has had such a tremendous impact because they're concerned they're making an investment today that is going to get refinanced tomorrow, which that becomes an expensive process for them.
Yeah.
When they don't have it for very long.
Right.
So what does it mean? Higher interest rates today. Because there's less people buying. The interest rate market is absolute supply and demand.
Absolutely. Fundamental rules of economics cannot be breached. When they are breached, it's always short term and almost immediately corrected.
Well, and especially like today, when the curve is like it is, where that guy with the fire hose of money at the insurance company, big insurance company, he just aims it a little shorter and, oh my gosh, I'm getting more here than if I make it this a longer term investment. So that really, that curve is supposed to be lower, shorter, higher, longer.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't.
A non-inverted yield curve is vital to a healthy economy in the long run. There's no question about it. I was asking Marshall in a break a little bit ago, what he's talking about with the mortgage-backed securities reminds me so much of 2007 when we got into the big problem that became 2008. And he said to me something I didn't know. He says, it's vastly different this time. And I can't explain it having only heard it once, but I might get it if I hear it a second time.
Today's mortgage-backed security is the original intent of mortgage-backed securities. It's where a family buys a house, gets a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. It's insured by FHA. It's guaranteed by VA. Or it's a conventional loan written to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac standards. Those mortgages in securities have never created a problem. What happened in the mid-2000s is we had what was called the subprime.
Right.
Those people who could not qualify for an FHA or VA loan were made a loan at a higher interest rate. And the capital markets guys in New York figured out how to securitize these, get insurance on it, and sell it to people. Well, when the people couldn't make the payments on their loan, it defaulted.
And who bought the farm there? The insurance companies.
It was like a gigantic tidal wave.
Yeah.
And it also affected the other markets. But now that we don't have that security market like it was at that time, we don't have the same problem. But what we have is the good side of it. Where the guy with all the oil over there in Qatar watching his Argentina, he's still buying our FHA, VA, Ginnie Mae securities, getting a good interest rate at a low risk. So that's good for our economy.
Yeah. Well, it's all, as was being discussed with you and Angela, it's all a story about risk. Whenever you're talking about interest rates, you're always talking about risk. And it makes no sense to invert the yield curve and say the risk is actually higher in the shorter run than it is in the longer run. No, the risk got to be longer in the longer run. You got to get more for it. And when that starts going awry, something bad is going to happen. The economy will self-correct, but it won't be painless. That's the problem. Now, overlaying the market on that and looking out forward into the market, that's where the art form comes in for people like us. Marshall, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll see you all on the eve of Christmas right here. This is the
Merry Christmas
Financial.